Rangers Rambles.
Hello, everybody. We are live on the air now with the next episode of the Raiders Rambles.
Wait, this is the Raiders Rambles?
Yes, it is. For Raiders Podcast. I am Jolt, chief host of the show, and joining me is none other than my co-host, Avira.
Hey, it's me, your resident Orange Doggo. Just a reminder, guys, Orange Doggo bad.
Indeed. Next up on the show, Red.
Red cat who eats.
Never get tired of that. That's me.
I mean, it's good, right? Like, and next up on the show, Sparky.
Hey, guys.
All right. Glad to have you back. And joining us for the first time ever, say hello and kind of formally introduce yourself and tell us a few interesting facts about yourself. Curtis Kaiju.
Hey. Okay. Yes, I'm assuming that some of the viewers are familiar with me if, you know, you've been around on the Raiders Telegram. If not, I am Frog, the gayest frog in the entire fandom. From all the fucking chemicals in the water. Generally just interested in politics and culture and whatnot, but also, you know, for not like entirely serious, you know, a bit of a positive vibes and a bit of a laugh here and there, because let's face it, in this world it's so crazy that if you're not laughing at it, there's probably something wrong with you as far as I'm concerned. Is there anything else that anyone should generally know about me?
I'd pull out the thing, but you have this advantage, but I'm not gonna say that loud.
Long intro.
Oh my god.
Longest than ever, but you know what? It was very passionate and heartfelt, so I don't know if we applaud you for it.
I'm not very good at introducing myself. Like, my social skills are genuinely horrible, so apologies.
Freaking. So my name's Stacy. Hi, my name's Tom. And Jerry, what about you? When I was born.
When I was born, I came out that fucking pussy like a party popper. It was fantastic.
Well, there goes our monetization.
You know what?
You're welcome.
At this stage, we could probably get Curtis a book deal out of this, though. Kidding.
Don't worry. I'm going to make that happen.
Hey, as long as you can learn, you know, don't awkwardly write your biography.
Trust, listen, okay? Anyone who doesn't give me the book deal is homophobic, as far as I'm concerned.
You know, Alex Jones should have warned you about, you know, the chemicals in the water turning the freaking frogs gay.
Toonie X666 asks, "Hey, how's TFF, Sparky?"
I'm not at the con yet, but I'm gonna be there tomorrow morning.
I'm gonna also disclose that next week I may or may not have somebody who did go to Texas Free Fiesta. Who's
I did go to TFF last year, and I had fun there.
Nice.
But anyway, without further ado, shall we get started?
Oh, yes.
Yes, because I know you really wanted to pump this out. And I know we have just a treat for you.
Yeah.
Here we go. Lo and behold.
Yeah, literally pumped this out. Oh, God.
What has Peter wrought upon themselves?
Well, nice. Now the monetization's really gone down the drain.
Yikes. But look what is
who's that even supposed to be?
I think it's
is
Mike
this Pence. An old and
I don't know.
A man his age probably shouldn't be seen like that.
I have a question, and this is a legitimate one. How come PETA is still around? Isn't everybody aware of what a terrible
they're trying to cling to relevance at this stage, aren't they? And the thing is, though, you got to play this mutually exclusive meme. Peter, good at PR. Pick one.
I guess they turned to DeviantArt for their new propaganda.
I mean, you just know that someone, you know, someone is so out of touch with the internet when they open this whiz. Looks weird, right? Listen, this is the internet. stuff like this is more commonplace than you would expect. That so, you know, just by saying looks weird, like, you have to be out of touch to think something that honestly is actually quite tame compared to a lot of stuff out there.
Yeah, I have to say I'm not shocked by this.
I mean, this is normal to furries, so...
Yeah, I was just gonna say, like...
precisely what they have wrought upon themselves.
I go to E621, I go to the front page, I already wear their stuff.
I'm pretty sure they stole this from E621, too.
You know what, though? You know what the funny thing is, though? That very same picture you see right here of the man basically being breastfed by a cow is on E621 now.
Oh my god! What?
I knew
yes.
it.
Yes!
And do you know what? Now, this comes as no surprise, every single furry on Twitter is having a field day with this.
Oh, we have to read the comments too.
We are going to read the live comments.
Please tell me. Please tell me somebody did like an actual furry version of this where they made the cow attractive.
I mean, look at this thing already. The freaking everybody was commenting about the cow's breasts.
And I mean, the cow's always got them titties, you know?
Are we allowed to show this on YouTube? Living.
It's not explicit. There's no nipple.
But at the same token, you gotta read these comments on the Twitter thread. Iridon says, yeah, the money we raise at cons tends to go towards helping animals instead of euthanizing them.
Woo!
Oh!
That's a spicy meme right there.
And then we got Dunspar says, furries don't deserve an insult of that caliber.
If feed a furry.
Oh my god.
And you know what kind of effect this is all going to have, like, at the end of the day, just while we were kind of...
I recently switched from cow milk over to almond milk, but after seeing this picture, I'm going right back to cow milk. This looks delicious.
Look, and then, like, what? Two replies later, nut milking exposed.
What did you feed think this was going to happen? Switch people, deter people from drinking cow milk.
I don't know. Like, does PETA have, like, no sense of, like, consequences? You think they would have learned that the internet really doesn't like them after the Steve Irwin thing?
I mean, look, this thing just made drinking cow milk look 10 times cooler.
Yeah, but only if it's great.
PETA's gonna have a heart attack when they realize what nature's actually like.
Oh my god.
Right? It's not like they know in the first place, though, but... Jesus Christ.
Nature's
a million times cruel.
Nature
is a million times crueler than the mankind could ever be.
And they're right.
Oh my fucking god.
And now, you know what, though? If PETA actually, as a side effect of this, does turn people into fur, you know, inadvertently helps furries by getting more and more people into the community just for this, you know, it's them. It must be them cow titties.
Oh man! Fucking!
What are they thinking? Like, is this going to deter anyone from not liking cheese or ice cream? I mean, like, get real!
Oh my god!
Oh my goodness! When I'm done sucking the teat, I'm gonna eat the meat.
Yeet the meat! Jesus Christ! Jesus!
Okay, I think that'll probably be...
Yeah, I'm going to pretend that one image
did not happen. Like, who?
That didn't happen.
I could not. I can't freaking control what goes on Twitter. I can't freaking control this, and this. Like, what?
Monetization ruined.
We're getting reverse demonetized for this.
They're going to charge us to keep this video up.
You know, given the current climate of the internet, I think we might just... We might have just had that gone. But hey.
Oh my god.
But
I want to know who drew that.
Yeah,
like I had the link. The actually got that commission.
An artist named Bison.
Yes.
An artist named Bison. Oh my god! If they're a furry, I'm gonna shit myself. That's so funny.
Do you think that like the artist like knew exactly what would happen and they just like made it out there as possible, just to fucking ruin
make
pizza
this as realistic as possible, but also anthro, just so that the furries don't have a field day, and they're already on puzzle at E61.
You know, I'm thinking of commissioning art for PETA just to troll them.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I mean, remember, we once covered that they literally went to my downtown area and, you know, and staged a faux a dog cooking barbecue. Oh god, yeah.
What do you mean faux dog cook? Did they not actually cook real dogs?
Of course, it was literally just, you know, dummies and all that stuff. Like, and yeah, then they said, like, anybody who cooks thing, if you don't want to barbecue this, wouldn't you cook your dog?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
so wait, Peter has a problem with killing animals when it's in public? What?
No. It's okay. They were not Chinese. What they did was they were appealing to Americans, so it's fine. But before that, they pretended to, like, cook a human. But that was absolutely over the top, so they kind of abandoned that and then tried to cook dogs. But that doesn't really work either, because that's not going to make me not want to eat meat. Like, to be totally real here, if I was in China during the dog meat festival, I mean, I'd be kind of curious, you know, what Chihuahua tastes like. I'm just saying.
Sure.
I don't know.
Isn't one of those festivals getting, like, shut down because of PETA or something? That's what I heard.
Maybe not because of not PETA, probably the UN.
Yeah, it would probably. Would
the second PETA stops trying to come after frogs, I'm gonna.
Well, yeah, they'd probably euthanize or whatever it is, confiscate, euthanize, and whatever. But anyway, I just got this thing in the live comments from Mikhail, who suggested read this tweet from Jason FX.
Oh boy,
looks normal to me. Then again, I'm a degenerate, and I would absolutely. Furries.
Oh, furries. Goodness.
Yeah. And you know what the funny part is? Peter has been blocking furries who so much as Dingo the cow.
Oh my god. It's Tony the Tiger thing all over again.
Literally half of the comments on their Twitter post are furries trolling them. It's the best thing ever. Like, did you notice that? Like, all the comments are furries?
Then there's also all comments like those who were furry curious and had that picture of that snake. Yeah, there was that.
Oh, that too, yeah.
But can I just... But on this little side note, though, can I just disclose my positive experience with cow milk to the point where I literally start my day with it and I can't do without?
Okay.
Yeah, I drink, like, a lot of milk. Probably too much, actually.
You better be from the cows, mate.
I mean, milk
is good,
it's
obviously obviously from cows. Like, what kind of milk do you think I'm drinking?
Goat
actually
milk?
Don't answer that.
Oh.
No, goat. Oh, yeah, I don't think I've had goat milk at all.
I mean, that's actually pretty popular in a lot of places in the world.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I feel like I should try it at some point. How long until Peter gets some goat art up on their Twitter?
Well, if they go cool goats, then you know who might come after them.
Oh,
or basically,
no.
You know what? What if Peter basically starts craving for goats?
Fucking god! How long until we have like every animal that produces milk gets their own Peter fan art?
Where is that one guy that got offended by laughing cow milk and is like, "Hey, I bet you that cow wasn't laughing when you slaughtered, huh?" And someone's like, "You don't kill a cow to make cheese."
Also, cows don't laugh like at all anyway.
Animals don't.
So even if it wasn't slaughtered, it wouldn't fucking laugh anyway.
Yeah. So just as a before we shift forward, yeah. So Sinark asks, when do we go full day's vote on PETA?
Well, I don't know. I thought the Green New Deal was going to do that because they were going to eliminate all the farting cows.
Yeah, but apparently that the Green Deal isn't happening, fellas. I'm sorry.
Ah, so I guess I don't know. I guess
Peter. Well, he got voted down to oblivion.
Yeah, it's down to Peter now, guys.
Well, whether they decide to even, you know,
I think the Green Deal is something like ship jobs overseas because the natural gas stuff.
There's
blah blah blah.
There's a lot of stuff in that deal. What was it? Provide money to people who don't want to work or something. That was crazy. That was only in a draft thing, and then they removed it after people got angry.
But so. Hey, on the plus note, though, you still gotta hand it to Mike Lee, right? Freaking posting a picture of Reagan on a velociraptor.
Fjelsa Garcianoch says no such thing as bad publicity.
Agreed, yeah.
So that's one way of looking at it.
Well, I mean, I'm sure Harvey Weinstein could disagree, but...
I know.
Well, if he didn't do the crimes he did, then that would be okay.
How do you say your name? I'm assuming it's Fjelsa Garcianoch.
Yeah,
Is the second C silent?
Man, I love Irish names.
Is it Irish? Oh, okay.
I'm gonna say Fjallsagach.
Like,
Fjallsagach.
I mean, yeah.
I'm not gonna butcher that anymore.
They have a name that I can't really pronounce. It's just like I don't know what it is, but it's really cool.
The Welsh. The Welsh have that all that.
Oh, maybe it is Welsh.
Yeah.
There's one of W used to be Welsh.
Anyway, we're kind of going to move to the next item, and this is literally kind of the big one that has a lot of far-reaching implications. Not just for us, but for everyone on the internet as well. Yes. The legislation of Article 11 and 13 in the European Union.
Now, guys, let me clarify what the difference is between 11 and 13. Now, Article 11 relates to news. So, for instance, if you were to post a news article and you discuss the headline of something, you know, from another network, you owe that network money because you're using their article. And then Article 13 has to do with copyrights, but it's not on your end. It's on the end of the provider. So if you, let's say, were to post something with copyrighted material, you know, for fair use or whatever it may be, the website, like let's say YouTube, would be accountable for that. And so this would lead to basically only major corporations that own the copyright actually being able to post this content instead of you.
It's crazy, man. Never been so happy to be an Australian right now.
I mean, this is literally, you know, one of those things where, you know, the EU have just overextended their muscles to try and, you know, be like the sole arbiter of the internet. Like, if you didn't, like, say, with these, like, if you didn't link your information, you know, link to your source or whatever it is, like, you just get, like, have you got a license for that link, mate?
They want
that. Your law license for that?
They're authoritarian because they just want control over things.
This is literally, in simple terms, well, all I can say about this right now is, like, this is just a bunch of boomers who don't understand how the internet works, just trying to, you know, control something
they
that
don't.
Is beyond their power.
Yeah, you're right. They don't know how it works. Like, meme culture.
Most of them.
Fucking boomers.
Most of them still believe that the internet is just a fad and something that can just be ignored. That the television is still the champion media.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I don't know I can't remember the name of the guy who's like pushing the whole Article 13 thing. But like a week before the vote happened, he did an interview on, I think, techdirt.com, where he basically implied that YouTube should not exist. So that's a nice little insight into the mind of the person running this scheme, I suppose is what I should call it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like they don't know any better. And it's like, let's say you want to post like a SpongeBob meme or something. Well, SpongeBob is a copyrighted content, so that would be taken down by the algorithm, and you could get, you know, in trouble for that, or at least YouTube could in these countries. And so YouTube would have to ban anyone who's making these memes, and thus meme culture would die.
Clearly, there's money to be made here.
Oh yeah, yeah, of course.
And go ahead.
What if you have like a bunch of stuff, you know, like a bunch of raw ideas, and you make like shitty concepts of them and post them on the internet, and then you say, "I am the creator of these ideas, and if anybody makes anything close to them, I will copyright strike it because of Article 13." Now, and you may just make millions of those, and collect all the money.
Well, you would have to have a patent for that to begin with. Like, you can't just post something on the internet.
As if it's difficult to get a patent these days.
Well, that or a copyright or a trademark. You know, there's a lot of different complex laws with that.
It's not difficult to get one of those. All you have to prove is that you made it.
Well, not for large companies, it's not. And that's exactly what this is going to do. It's going to limit people's access to individual creators.
If that actually could be pulled off, well, you know, it's literally the scam of the century or whatever. Like, we're just basically a very clever entrepreneur.
Well, the EU is the scam of the century right now.
If you want to disprove a law, if you want a law to no longer be around, you have to abuse the fuck out of it to make people see how broken it is.
Right. And speaking of how broken it is, though, has there been much chatter around it in European nations like yours, like Germany, Red?
We're kind of in a trash fire right now, especially because the guy who came up with the whole shebang was a German.
Right. Look, in Germans ruining Europe again, Jesus.
I mean, the first time wasn't our fault, but the two other times, yeah.
I mean, on the it's always been that little history, hasn't it, though? But hey, I suppose it would.
What is it with Germany and ruining Europe? It can't be a coincidence.
It's happened twice by now. Come on, France has done it more than us.
And speaking of France, it's just like, I think, wasn't it France who just wanted to pull the muscles of this just so they can put all of Europe down, like force Article 13 down on all of it?
Is World War II and Article 13? I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. But, hey. I don't know, like, who thought this was a good idea? Like, do these people even know
they're Axel religion? Voss.
Oh, that's his name.
Right.
What a plot twist. Everyone who voted for Article 13 and 11 are just accelerationists who want to bring about the downfall
of Article 13. Here's what's happened. MEPs say they mistakenly voted for Articles 11 and 13, that the vote should have flipped. EU Parliament says, too bad. So, in essence, though, when they literally pulled like these, you know, a shifty thing called by shifting the votes forward, so that made sure they made the decision. And then when they realized what they were voting for, they said, can we flip the vote? I regret my decision. And like he was like, okay, but it's not going to count for nothing.
Yeah, that was Sweden that did that, wasn't it?
I mean, yeah, but essentially, this was just also the bill could get passed.
Well, this entire vote only took about 16 seconds to do.
Yeah.
That's it. 16 seconds to revoke all your freedoms on the internet. And that's really what it is.
No, the EU is just people who only care about money and nobody else.
Unelected bureaucrats. But in essence, though, failed by 5 votes. And then... Oh, you know what's also funny about this, though, as well? The EU also happened to be run by incompetent, whatever it was, that even when Count Dankula was in parliament with them and he basically was.
Yeah, I remember he was like live tweeting like the entire thing.
And then like one of the EU people said, what's an algorithm?
Jesus fucking Christ. Wasn't one of the, didn't he like tweet out that one of the original things that was going to be in the bill, I'm not sure if it actually got through, was that if there's a, like you take a picture and there's like a building or landmark, the person who owns that picture can like find you for having their property in the picture. I remember that was in a draft at least. I don't know if that's
going through. I am going to photobomb all of the pictures.
I think it's just property. I don't think it's actual people.
Yeah, that way
it's not that crazy. Yeah, so there's that. And Sargon came along as well, I think. And a few other people, but I unfortunately missed out on the whole like live coverage of that thing because like the few day period where it happened, you know, I had school and then I had work right after that, so that kind of flew under the radar for me. So I kind of picked up the details later, so I'm not gonna be like, oh yeah, I saw all of that. So I'm not gonna pretend that I know everything about that. I just know it's a whole fucking shit show in there, and they are in shambles basically.
Right.
When it all comes down to it, it's all about money. You know, people just want to take a piece of whatever they can. And the big problem is that, or at least for the establishment, is that individual creators are gaining more views and more popularity than the mainstream. So they want to try to take as much as they possibly can from individuals because they're not big corporations. And that's what Article 11 is all about, too. Like they're trying to cash in on, oh well, let's say this individual journalist wants to talk about a news story. Well, if they post the name of the article and a little summary, well, then they owe the company that originally talked about it money, like a royalties. And it's funny, like, this actually did not work where it, like, originally. I forgot what case this was, but they're trying to re-implement this with this bill in Europe. And it seems like it passed. So I'm not sure what that's going to mean for...
When it does get enacted, we're all going to clear up and say, like, this is the glory days of the internet have come to an end.
At least in Europe.
All we'll have are just our rose-tinted lenses and our memes.
The Newgrounds era.
Oh, I miss Newgrounds. Newgrounds was cool.
Oh, yeah.
Like
the Wild West.
Me too, right? Like you and I know, Red, you know that Newgrounds is having another resurgence again, right?
Yeah, I'm so glad for that. I'm so happy.
Unless of course your goal in Newgrounds is to chase out all the cancer that Tumblr has brought along with it.
I mean, here's the thing. Unlike Tumblr, Newgrounds is not a blogging site. It is strictly a media site.
Yeah. And then, you know, content, it's all content creators' havens, too. And, you know, the fun part was, too, like, Newgrounds is under the U.S. jurisdiction and all that, so, you know, under all technicalities, I think they should be fine.
Well, it's not like, you know, this is going to affect the United States. I mean, it probably will, because imagine, like, politicians in our country, or even where you live, Joel, in Australia, they might be like, well, Europe is doing this. This seems like a good idea for companies to make more money off of individual creators. Yeah, let's do this. So this might spread. And that's where I find a problem.
Yeah.
I honestly would hope that this idea doesn't spread. Especially not in somewhere like America, because I would argue America is a country that... like quite obviously really loves their freedom, and I think that they wouldn't let it slide in the way Europe has, especially since they don't have such a big governing body. And like they couldn't, because if you look like Sweden's parliament, like they're the ones who like accidentally voted in favor in like a week or two before. I don't know if it was that, but so like clearly like there was a lot of resistance that kind of was swept under the rug. So I think if you didn't have some sort of organization like, you know, hovering above like several united countries, I don't think you could get it through in the same way. But I could be entirely wrong about that. I mean, we're all wrong about net neutrality not getting through, but that's an entirely separate issue.
Right. No, honestly, I think you're right. Because imagine, like, do you remember what happened with SOPA? S-O-P-A?
Stop Online Piracy and that.
Yeah, well, that failed as well. So, and that's because in America, we didn't want to deal, like, we voted no. We're like, hey, you know, we want to download whatever we want to download.
Simple.
It's open and free internet. That's what it's supposed to be.
And speaking of which, all I get in my freaking country, I tell code Yon.
It's like Germany just gets caught. Germany just starts to fall at times. Like, we go to war with them, World War One.
Oh, come on. Remember what Red said. It's not just
World War Two. Now
France is liable for this, too. And France is liable for today's problems even more so.
I mean, I actually have to be completely fair. I wouldn't entirely put it past the Australian Parliament to enact something similar to Article 13. After all, some of you may be aware, in the wake of the Christchurch thing, a lot of Australian internet providers have started banning sites like 8chan, 4chan, I think Zero Hedge. I know New Zealand almost completely has done that. In Australia, most networks have. Telstra has. And I don't know if it's...
Telcos in my country have basically prohibited access to those websites, and that's all I've got from it.
My provider hasn't. I'm feeling very happy.
Like, it's to the point where I either have to use a VPN on my phone or go home and use my computer because my ISP is fine.
Yeah, I mean, thank you to IINet for not being fucking pussy bitches. I can browse the MDH, I can go on Zero Hedge all I want. And also in like the wake of Christchurch, I think it was Scott Morrison said we might need to crack down on internet stuff. So I wouldn't put Australian Parliament passing something like Article 13 and 11, although it would be probably for different reasons. I don't think that we have much of a, like, a money problem at the moment. Yeah. I could be entirely wrong. I'm not. I know nothing about economics and Australia's economic situation, so take that as you will.
Right. Well, I wouldn't say there's a money problem. It's more like a legal issue, and
corporations
are trying to cash in on what individual creators.
That was precisely the point, but that's just it, though. But either way, I think that's, we've basically got the gist of what Articles 11 and 13 would mean, and it's not gonna paint a pretty picture. But enough of that's that. So there's a couple more comments. Mikhail asks, if the people don't rise up against the EU, America will have to save Europe. Again.
Time for interventionism 101, fellas. We're taking over the EU.
Dude, I mean, I would rather venture to say that there needs to be a freaking, you know, continent-wide yellow vest movement to begin with, and then.
Yeah, yellow vest, but this time we're fighting the EU.
I mean, look, this is not like the Nazi takeover situation, but this is downright tyrannical, what they're doing.
The German authoritarians ruining Europe again.
That's what they're doing. Exactly.
It's you know what Dinger would have said, though? You know what Orion would have said? It's the Belgians, damn you.
Fucking Belgians.
Damn them.
Curse you, Belgium! Curse you!
Speaking of which, though, don't you think that Belgium's a dodgy country, Red? Like, have you had any experience with them?
I've been in Belgium once. The thing is, turns out it's just a 4-hour drive. Okay. Imagine a country, all right? Imagine a country that is like the Netherlands, like Germany, and like France, all rolled up in one, with all its all of their most defining traits turned up to 11.
Well, I know Belgium is extremely divided, especially basically in half. The north and south are extremely different.
Belgium is identity crisis in a country.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Not to mention that it literally holds the seed of, you know, what would be the you know, that they literally think that the European ivory tower. But holy moly.
I mean, when it comes to Germany, though, I find it pretty ironic that right now Germany pretty much runs the EU and essentially all of Europe. So, I mean, that's what the fascists wanted, isn't it? It seems like that's what's happening.
Thinking emoji.
It is, but it's essentially, there's a lot of million complicated things, but hey.
Yeah, I mean, like, I know almost nothing about, like, you know, the whole Europe situation. I mean, it shows how much you guys, I know. All I know about, like, something like Belgium is they have nice food. That's all I can tell you.
Like, we gotta go to World War III with Germany, and, like, we have another war with Germany.
There's a lot on the cards we don't know yet. We don't know who's going to fight who, but I'm keeping an eye on things.
Well, World War I was not our fault, so it's like, let's just keep that out of the way.
Yeah.
I mean, if this whole internet bill affected America, I would be freaking the hell out.
Same here on my end.
What the heck?
Like, well, people would be marching their way to the White House.
Well, we cannot do this podcast, like, at all.
We'd have to do it under, like, back channels and so forth.
Yeah, like, and VPNs and all that stuff, like, we'd have to avoid the law. It's insane.
Like, or maybe we just do it old-fashioned. But yeah.
Imagine having to do a goddamn late 90s hacker sequence just to talk to your friends.
Oh, yeah.
Who is this hacker known as 4chan?
Not to mention that if you did it, like, with the retro way, like the 80s stuff, you'd just have more, like, 10 times more cheesiness.
You just get, like, three different keyboards and monitors and just furiously tapping over them. I've hacked the mainframe. I'm in the system.
This is illegal. Are you sure you want to confirm? Why?
Russian hard bass in background. Puts on guys.
It all depends on how hard you press the enter key.
Yep.
I'm in.
Anyway. Have
you seen the one clip from, like, I don't know if it was like CSI or something, where it's like a hacking scene of, like, two people just frantically tapping on the same keyboard at the same time? It's fucking hilarious.
It's amazing. Yeah. I mean, right. I don't know if CSI is serious or not, because this one time they talked about getting some guy's hard drive and they pulled out his power supply.
This is how Russia learned to hack the election, from reruns of bad cop shows.
Well, bravo to them. Bravo. That's learning 101. But hey.
Too smart for Robert Mueller.
That's pretty much that for the time being.
Robert Mueller can't stand them hackers. All right. Yes. Yeah, keep going.
So now the next kind of item Mueller. Is going to be a bit of a weird one.
Oh, because, wait.
Because women are trying.
I know.
They tried, but ultimately they fell short. The first all-female spacewalk aborted due to ill-fitting suit.
Damn.
Yeah. Well done.
Well, ill-fit. How bad can you screw up the suit? Like, don't they like design these to fit the frame of a person?
Isn't it one size fits all? Okay.
Like,
it's tailor-made. In that case, what the fuck?
Like, apparently, you know what? So much for groundbreaking science. But apparently, they said one of the astronauts said she learned during her first spacewalk that a medium-sized, hard upper torso is her best, and well, because only one medium-sized thingo, they had to be it because it was a sizing issue. I mean, look, is this a case of are the women too whatever are too ill-fitted, or does NASA's tailors need to up their game?
Pretty sure it's just NASA's family being up their gang.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, you can have, like, definitely NASA's tailors, because, I mean, like, being, like, a astronaut, that's, like, a pretty hard job, so you would have to, like, be, you know, fairly willing to be in a lot of uncomfortable situations.
To be qualified to being an astronaut is some pretty hardcore shit.
Yeah, hey, so I doubt that a fucking ill-fitting, like, if the costume's, like, slightly, like, not comfortable, you're not going to bail out because of that. So I'd argue that, you know, we can, you know, throw around the stereotypes of, you know, so-and-so gender being more sensitive. But I feel if you're in the, you know, even if we hypothetically assume that stereotype for the most part is true, if you're an astronaut, generally you're going to be made of tougher stuff. So a costume that is slightly ill-fitting is probably not going to be too much of a big deal. So I would probably more than not definitely pin this on NASA.
Here's the good dive comment. Chris DeLava asks, was someone's boobs too big?
No, well, here's the thing. Okay, these spacesuits are meant for men. Like, most
can't go on the moon. Why not take two bomb?
They mostly are. You know,
Jesus Christ!
I don't think I've ever seen a NASA spacesuit specifically designed for a woman.
Yeah.
Now, maybe they do have it. Maybe they don't. Like I said, I've never seen anything specifically designed for that. I know the Russians actually put a woman in space 20 years before the United States did. I'm not sure what the whole situation is behind that.
Yeah, was their spacesuit gender accommodating?
I don't know. It's the Russians. I mean,
it probably had to have been.
I mean,
if I'm being honest here, like, it probably was.
It's the Russians. I mean, they literally stuff the suit full of vodka and off they go.
Yeah, that's fair.
To the moon with you. Here's a bottle of vodka. Well,
yeah, I mean, I would assume anyone can fit in those suits, given how fucking big they are. But I really don't know, like, how that stuff works, so I'm not going to pretend that I know.
Okay, well, here's the thing. You said that they were big. Now, on average, men tend to be larger than women in body and stock and all that. So if the women cannot fit into the spacesuits, how are they going to do a safe spacewalk? They can't.
Well, that's fair. Do they not have a small size, or?
I don't
know.
Well,
it's like $1 million to make one of these suits, or probably more, I'm guessing.
I mean, that is a fair point. I hadn't thought of that, actually.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, but then again,
it's expensive to make these things.
Yeah, but like then again, like if you're gonna go into space, you're gonna have to have the expensive equipment because it's space. It's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, but the fact is that
you have to make sure it works.
The fact that NASA blundered on this as well.
Yeah, because like,
poor shame.
It's really bad planning because like having like female astronauts in space. Like, you know, if that's gonna be like, you know, progression for society, that's cool and all. But if you drop the ball this early, that's gonna like set a bad image, and if anything, that's gonna be more harmful to, you know, this whole thing than any, you know, edgy commentators who jump on it otherwise. You know, I'm not saying that we're those people, but other people who will jump on this at some point, surely, like on some sort of random blog somewhere. This is probably gonna really set the bar lower than it should be, I think.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, might I just say this was, you know, a mission that was aborted. And this is probably the only instance where feminists oppose abortion.
Oh, fuck this.
Jesus Christ.
The first, female spacewalking team.
All right, buddy. All right. What the hell?
You have won the internet.
Jeez. All right. That was pretty funny. Yeah.
But seriously, though. Like, what were they thinking? Like, they can't go into men's suits because they're not designed for them. And I'm pretty sure you guys know this already, but...
Someone would have thought of that, though.
I mean, like, they're designed for, you know, like, they have catheters in them. They have special things where, like, if you're out in space, you know, it's not meant for women. So, like, they have to redesign them. And if these women could not fit inside these suits, and if they're not designed for them, they might have to reconsider their funding and how to...
Yeah,
accommodate them.
So, I got something. Here's something interesting for you. Here's something that you might be able to try out. NASA offers $19,000 to stay in bed for 60 days.
What?
Yep. They're doing this. The space agency said the study, which aims to analyze the effects of long space flights on astronauts' bodies, calls for 12 men and 12 women to spend 60 days lying in the bed at German Aerospace Center in Cologne, Germany.
What? So that's what we're doing, huh?
I volunteer as tribute. I volunteer. Let me do it.
I mean, if it turns out to be legit, you know, if they're quite serious about this and you can earn $19,000 on the side just for sleeping for six, you know, what's
not
60
even
days
sleeping, just right? Staying in bed.
Well,
how do I get the food though?
Somebody's got to deliver it to you. Hey,
maybe in two. I don't know.
They have like a fucking android sending it.
I mean, okay. To be fair though, NASA does do a lot of weird stuff, like testing wise. Like they'll fly you around at like 55 G forces, and you ever see like, you know, that person in like that spinning thing, and it's like,
this is
what it's like if you're in a in the space shuttle, and they're like basically almost on the verge of death.
Yeah, but if I'm in the bed, snuggled a lot, nice and comfortable, then I can do that.
Hey, as long as I have my iPad with me and I can, like, browse the internet, I think I'll be good.
Yeah, I mean, there's no Wi-Fi in space, but, like, I'm assuming there's going to be, like, you're not just going to be lying down and do nothing else the whole time.
Is it, I think the goal, like, let's just say, like, let's recreate this test with the most accurate conditions possible. No internet, no Wi-Fi, no... games, no nothing.
You can bring books though, right?
Maybe.
Yeah, I just they can't just like literally have you lying in bed doing nothing for 60 days.
Yeah, they can.
Yeah, I mean they can, but that'd be very inhumane. I figure if you're going through space, like you're allowed to bring like I would assume you're allowed to bring a book. I could finally finish Lord of the Rings, maybe.
I mean, hey, if it turns out that you say on the 59th day, on the 23rd hour of your programming, you said, I quit. Nope, that's your $19,000 gone. You're not getting it. Yeah.
Suddenly, when you start to think about it, it's starting to seem to sound a lot less doable, is it?
I mean, hey.
I could probably do it if I had the right people there in the room with me.
But this doesn't even make sense, though, because if you're going to be on a space flight for that long, you're going to have to be trained to actually handle the spacecraft and do experiments as you're flying towards your destination, right? Mm. Like, why would you be still in bed for that long? Unless you're in cryo sleep, and that doesn't even exist.
I don't know. NASA is just doing weird shit at this point.
Hey, here's another good one, though. Vyasargak Sainak. $1 million. Imagine having a fursuit made for that amount.
Oh my god.
It'd be lined with insulation materials, Kevlar, coolant systems, and more.
It would look like an actual antifurry in real life.
Would have to be really compact though.
It would be like the Iron Man suit with fur on it.
Functional.
And not to mention we might actually get a fursuit in space.
Oh my goodness, that'd be
gosh. Well, yeah, degeneracy universe-wide. I love it.
I mean, furries conquering the moon.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if NASA's going to put some people in bed for 60 days and pay them for it, I wouldn't put that above them. Just like some guy in the boardroom, like high off his fucking face. Yeah, let's put people in bed for like 6 days and pay them. And after that, let's send some furries to the fucking moon. Yeah, I can totally imagine that happening. That's the only logical explanation for what the fuck they're doing at this point.
Yeah, but like, is it worth it though? Like $19,000 for 60 days just to sit there in bed? Like, I don't even know if that's worth it.
I would personally have to decline.
Yeah, I would probably like want to triple that. I'd be like, yeah, give me like 60 grand for 60 days. That'd be all right.
Yeah, now. But I mean, anyway, though, just as a little hypothetical, do you think furries could probably end up, given enough money and resources and whatever have you, and training and materials, design a better spacesuit or make a functional suit than NASA ever will?
Oh, probably. Yeah. Mm. I'd like to commission a spacesuit from you, Morpholess.
That'll be $1 million.
Small okay. Loan of $1 million? All right.
It's all sealed with duct tape and shit.
It could end up being maybe like $800,000.
I mean, look,
we could crowdfund it. We could crowdfund it with the amount of money that's going around. Although inevitably at some point the whole project will get shut down because someone with unsavory opinions donated to it. So we'll see.
Hey. Would a fursuit in space have a functional tail?
Like functional
to rudder around in space.
What animal is the space fursuit going to be?
Oh, that's a good question.
Clearly an otter, because then there'll be an otter space.
All right, guys. Scorch says, cooling systems? How much energy does air conditioning actually use under normal conditions? And how does one actually dissipate heat in a nearly vacuum?
No, it's okay. You don't need any cooling system because space is fairly cold.
Well, but we humans do radiate heat, though. And also, there are fursuits that have cooling systems inside of them. So that could be a possibility to evolve our technology upon.
Mm.
Yeah, just like hit up 4chan and tell them to do the calculations. They can do it.
4chan.
Oh, well, they can astronomically do this and this.
They can do anything. They found fucking ISIS camps, He Will Not Divide Us saga, where they track down Shia's cabin in the fucking woods. They can do fucking anything, so if we fucking hit them up, we could easily actually realistically make that happen.
I think they can, like, if they're not going to jeopardize it just because my furries. The furries.
Listen, and degeneracy and degeneracy gets along like a house on fire.
Nobody's dedicated than a million meats with nothing better to do.
They'll give us the money only if they can put edgy quotes on the costume and then like send us up and we say weird shit.
So I'm guessing that we don't have to build the rockets for this?
No.
No.
You'll probably end up making something like a space Pepe.
Oh my fucking god. So the first furry in space is going to be a frog. I approve of this.
Welcome aboard the USS Chatelet.
Yes.
Welcome aboard the US Autismo. The ride never ends. There are no brakes on this rocket.
Just a little bit of other little things, too. A wild fox appears, also asks, if you're going to space and not bringing Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, you're doing it wrong.
When you have to bring a towel, that's what you're bringing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in that sense, though, we've just got one little weird kind of thing to round out the show. And this is what weird thing that I was kind of just found on a whim. And I'm just like, why does this exist? All right. Men's Therapeutic Cuddle Group offers beta males opportunity for human contact.
Hmm.
I love how it says beta males.
Like, the stranger group of men apparently fights quote-unquote toxic masculinity.
Oh, God.
I feel very conflicted about this because I like cuddles as much as the next guy, but beta males and toxic masculinity is just, I feel personally attacked now.
Well, I was disappointed that these men who are cuddling are not in fursuit.
Yes! That's, well,
what are they doing?
Or at the very least have, like, some cat ear headband or something.
Yeah, or maybe a head, maybe a little tail, something.
I mean, look, read through this, the little bit of a briefing. The Bizarre Men's Therapeutic Cuddle Group in Northwest Philadelphia offers highly structured male-only cuddle sessions with quote-unquote safe touch boundaries and only non-sexual cuddling, including such male-on-male actions such as motorcycle style, the cuddle train, hand-holding, and the classic hair or beard stroking.
I didn't know we had terms for this.
Okay, you know what?
What is the cuddle train?
I am very uncomfortable reading this.
Guys, this is a real thing. They do this in Philadelphia. What the actual fuck?
Like, I'm all for, like, you know, escorts and stuff, but this to go this specifically into it, I'm a little bit.
Well, look, they're fighting the patriarchy.
I mean, I don't mind the concept, but I was so unaware that we had. I mean, I know we had terms for like sex positions, but I didn't know we had cuddling position names. Like, what is motorcycle style? Like, come on.
Let me explain to you what motorcycle style is. It's when you sit in a bed, okay? Legs spread out, and then someone sits in front of you on the same chair.
Oh, okay. Oh, that makes sense. All right. Well, no, you know, if the tagline for this isn't choose hug life, not thug life, I'm very upset. I'll put it that way.
This is just weird, man. Like, they're like, oh, well, even if you're married, gay, straight, whatever.
I would like to cuddle people without hearing that stupid article in my head.
But like, they're like, oh, well, make sure you keep your clothes on. Like, what the heck are they thinking? Why? Why does this exist? Why?
Well, let's go topless then.
Like, this obviously has the potential to be something more than just a cuddle.
I mean, honestly, I think this is, we've gotten to the point where men literally have to form their own groups to find affection. Like, how have we gotten to the point where that has to happen? That's indicative of something very wrong happening.
Yes, it is. But also, here's the thing. It's a men's only group, right? So let's say if a female to male transgender wants to join this group, are they allowed?
Is it male only as in gender, or male only as in biological is what I'd say.
I mean, anything goes in 2019, so who the hell knows at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to complain, honestly.
It's just crazy.
I mean, look, if you can have like a guy dress up as a trap and be a convincing female, I reckon if you have the convincing one of the opposite, I wouldn't really care. If it's not like, convincing, then I don't know if I would be on board with that. Maybe that's just me.
Another problem I have with this is they said married men are welcome. So my question is, why in the actual hell are these men not cuddling with their own wives?
Because their wives are currently busy being dicked down by black men.
Whoa.
You.
Oh, we really do not want any monetization today.
I didn't think it
was. Listen. Well, we've already gone down the road. I'm just going to bring all the edgy jokes out, all right?
And you know, and you know what, though? It's shocking at this state of the world if the women cannot, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like,
I would like to make sure that everyone knows. No, I don't actually believe in that whole the whole blacks thing and the men are getting blacks. No, that's just all fantasy. Don't conflagrate that with what I actually think. It's just memes. Fucking memes. Because somebody's gonna listen to this podcast somewhere down the line. They're gonna be my future employer, and they'd be like, "What the fuck, dude? Don't read too far. It's not actually real."
Yeah, I mean, sure. I don't really know what to think about this. On one hand, it's an interesting idea. You know, we can make a good joke about it. But on the other hand, I think it's very worrying. I would say even scary to a point where this, you know, exists, because, you know, this kind of stuff like exists on supply and demand. If there aren't men who are genuinely desperate for affection, they're not just going to go out and start, you know, getting it from strangers. But we've got to that point, and that's genuinely worrying, because like, that's not something that would normally be happening in a society where people are engaging in healthy relationships.
Can I just go back to the marriage thing? Like, any married man who takes part in this should have their finger revoked.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Like, what are they doing?
I don't know. Maybe they're in an abusive relationship or something where they're not getting what they need. I don't know.
That's not the thing. But the fact is, it's... You remember when I really did say that this is literally just for men who have ingested too much soy?
Well, I'm going to have to disagree with you on that one, but okay.
They have to cuddle with other men to feel better? Like, what in the hell? No.
Pretty sure that's just called being gay.
Yeah, super gay. Like, sure. Way gay.
Yeah.
What in the world?
Well, I think this is literally... Oops. Gone too well, down the hole.
Well, I think it's if I'm going to be completely fair, I think people are going to be there for different reasons, so I'm not going to claim that everyone is there because, you know, they're on the soy, everyone's there because, you know, their relationship sucks.
Yeah, I am quite starved of basic human contact, so I actually might have made use of that if I had money and or time.
Yeah. Oh, does it cost money?
I don't think it does. It's literally, it was basically an invitation to the group. It's on meetup.com.
Well, I'd have used that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm not on the soy, as people say, even
but,
on this.
Yeah.
But I would probably go.
Look, the thing is, it's billed as it's free and men are invited to it.
As I said, it's totally different if you have a fursuit. Like, this would be totally okay with me.
Yeah, I mean, this is, people go to like furry meets and just snuggle all the time. This is just the same thing without fursuits, really, if you think about it.
Yeah, but that's just not okay, though. Like, that's weird. Like, dude, come on. Like,
I mean, whatever benefits to the psych or the health that they advertise. Mm-mm. No, it's not like you just get a, oh, I just cuddled with a man and I feel like I have gotten understanding affection more.
I can see the podcast participants are somewhat divided over this, it would seem.
I know.
Like, what the heck?
Yeah, I mean, it's a bizarre concept for a variety of reasons.
It goes in between, this is kind of weird, to, oh, you know what, that's not such a bad idea, to, oh my fucking god.
Well, one of the reasons they talk about this is because it's supposed to combat toxic masculinity.
Aww.
You know, men are supposed to be sensitive and loving.
Listen. You can do whatever the hell you want on this earth, so long as you don't conflagrate that with some bullshit agenda.
Well, that's what they're doing.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you know, every time you see someone like complaining about toxic masculinity, it's like men should be more like sensitive and like emotional. And I will admit that I fill a lot of boxes on that checklist, but the whole concept of toxic masculinity, I think, is kind of silly at this point. I'm not saying there isn't any, you know, valid things that look where like masculinity gets too far, but I think the term as a whole is kind of lost on me, especially when you have publications literally coming out and saying that all masculinity is toxic masculinity.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. Any and all masculinity is just trying to get.
And God forbid you talk about toxic femininity.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No. Don't mention that.
Yeah.
Just the last bit of things that we might have just touched on.
Can we get a polyon back? Jesus Christ. I want a polyon back.
Sure, why not? We'll arrange something for that. But alas, there's a couple other little things there. Sign up says gay chalet frogs. Maybe in space one day.
Yeah.
And
you could cuddle up with the werewolf, that's one suggestion.
What else have we got? I don't know. Maybe.
And if you do cuddle up with a werewolf, though, you might not make it out alive.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, cuddling with a werewolf. I mean, if this fandom has taught me anything, it's that cuddling with a werewolf doesn't stop there.
The username A Wild Fox Appears brings up a very good point. What if this is just invitation for someone to sexually harass other guys, like give them the cuddling and then just go for the kill.
It's not enforceable, even though they claim it's non-sexual. But again,
that is probably a concern. I don't know if. Like how you would
I mean, if this was a space that was combating masculinity, what's going to save the men from, or whoever it is, from getting sexually harassed? The masculinity.
Yeah, I mean, like are the people, like how organized is it? Like an authority running the event where you can say, hey, this guy did so and so to me, and like, how does that work?
I think it was a meetup group in meetup.com. Like, they're just putting this open call, so I don't know how formally organized it is, but.
Yeah, I think the risk of anything weird going on would depend entirely on like how the authority runs and how you deal with this kind of stuff. So
yeah.
I'm not gonna say this is a space for anything until I know more of the details, which you know.
Yeah. But alas, as it is time as well, I think we have. Go on.
Well we got one. Did we talk about the Mueller report yet? I don't know.
Mueller report, that's
didn't that happen last week? I have such a bad scale of time.
It was a big nothing burger.
But it literally was a nothing
Russia
burger.
Russia investigation concluded and Mueller report was released and said there's no burger. Russian collusion. And the media loses their minds.
Precisely. But alas, at this stage, though, I think it seems that we have come to an end of time for this show.
Okay.
Well, so has anybody got any little things that to close to any bit of footnotes to close the show with? One at a time now.
I mean, shit, Joel, aren't you going to do that O Canada thing sometime?
Well, it's got to be situationally correct when there is something big, because I have a resident Canadian who frequents the show when I can call him in, and I know he would love to sing this song. It's got to be contextually accurate to do so.
I've got this thing here for you.
Absolutely.
Oh my God.
We have the lyrics, and now we'll get to singing it.
Oh, hell yeah.
We're
finally going to have the singing contest.
Oh, one day we will.
Hell yeah.
We get it. We just have to, you know, when the time comes and with the right people on board, we will get it done. But four out of five at this stage, I'm a little, reserved at the moment. So, Avira.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed the show. We had a very interesting news week.
Oh, believe me, there was a lot I could have chosen.
Oh yeah, totally, I know. Hope to see you guys next time.
Indeed, this would be us. Remember, you can always find the show here on YouTube. The audio versions of the theme song can be found on Podbean, iTunes, Google Play Store, Stitcher, and more to come. And yes, our resident music maker Red Kabuki did make the theme, so hats off to him for doing so.
Yay.
And with that said, this is us signing off for the week. Farewell, and until next time.
Please check me out on Star Weirdo, StarWeardo on SoundCloud, and also on Bandcamp. Each song is $0.99.
You may continue.
Okay then.